In Christian Letters to a Post-Christian World, renowned English writer Dorothy Sayers aimed some powerful words at religious people who have watered down the Son of God and made Jesus accommodating. Listen to her words. "The people who hanged Christ never accused him of being a bore. On the contrary, they thought him too dynamic to be safe. It has been left for later generations to muffle up that shattering personality and surround him with the atmosphere of the tedium. We have very efficiently pared the claws of the Lion of Judah, certified Jesus as meek and mild, and recommended him as a fitting household pet for pale curates and pious old ladies. As we have seen throughout our 260 journey so far, Jesus is anything but those things. 4 times in today's reading, Jesus refers to himself by using a common Old Testament title used only for God. Here it is, I am. You'll see that in verses 12, and then in 24, 28, and then in 58. That's why this chapter opens with the religious wanting to stone a woman caught in adultery and end with them wanting to stone Jesus. Look at the ending of the chapter with me. The Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. That's John 8, 57 through 59. By Jesus using that phrase for himself, he clearly meant for them to understand that he was saying that he was God. And the religious were not having it, thus the stones. They needed the stones to declaw the Lion of Judah and make him a manageable kitty cat, as Sayer says. Consider this revelation of U2's lead singer Bono, and he offered these words. Religion can be the enemy of God. It's often what happens when God has left the building. Or to say it another way, religion is what is left when God leaves the room. Now that's the truth. Many years ago, a woman entered a Haagen-Dazs store in Kansas City to buy an ice cream cone. After she'd ordered, she turned and found herself staring directly into the face of Paul Newman, the famous actor who was in town filming Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. He smiled and said hello. His blue eyes were even bluer in person, which made her knees buckle. She finished paying and quickly walked out of the store. When she regained her composure, however, she realized she didn't have her ice cream cone. She turned to go back in and met Newman again, who was coming out of the store. He said, "Are you looking for your ice cream cone?" Unable to utter a word, she simply nodded. And then Newman said, "You put it in your purse with your change." When was the last time the presence of God made you forget what was going on around you? Made you forget the dishes? Made you forget the ball game? Made you forget your bank account, made you forget where you even put your ice cream cone. Christian writer Donald McCullough writes on how cavalier we treat the privilege of standing in God's presence Sunday after Sunday. He says, "Reverence and awe have been replaced by yawns of familiarity. The consuming fire has been domesticated into a candle flame, adding a bit of religious atmosphere, perhaps, but no heat, no blinding light, no power for purification." Author Annie Dillard echoes the sentiment. She writes, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or as I suspect, does no one believe a word of what we sing? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It's madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church when we all should be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flames. They should latch us to our pews, for the sleeping God may awake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." And in John 8, when the religious heard this man speak about himself by using the Old Testament term for being God, "I am," using it 4 times, no one thought of strapping in and putting on a crash helmet because they were talking to God. They just decided to try to stone him, but that didn't work, so they crucified him. They crucified the great I am. We must be careful that we do not try to do the same thing. As Charles Spurgeon once remarked, nobody can do so much damage to the church of God as the man who's within its walls, but not within its life. May that not be you And may that not be me.